We're back into the Beatitudes this morning. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8 is our focus today. I've been with some other men here recently going through a study called Experiencing God, and many of you have done that study before. The main theme of the study is to find where God is at work around you and join Him in it. Well, to do that, you have to be able to see what God is doing, right? Do you see Him? Do you see what God is doing? Have you noticed that different people see situations differently, right? I mean, we tend to see things differently. We read it differently. And it has to do with our training and our background and our insight. Both of our daughters are teachers, and so I often hear from them instruction on how children learn. And Dad, it's not a lecture. They don't, and you know that. Adults don't learn from lecture very well either, but we keep doing it. It's how we've been trained. They tell me about how to relate to children. Now, we also have a lot of physical therapists here and occupational therapists. We're blessed in our congregation with your kind of people. And I wonder, what are you thinking as you see us decrepit ones get up from a chair and walk across the room? Is your training springing into action? Are you thinking, oh, I could help that person with their knees and their back? Because you've trained your mind and your heart to see those things and to help people with it. We have other health professionals here, and some of you are specializing in helping those who are nearing death or in some sort of long-term care, and you have trained your minds and your hearts for compassion. And I really respect the work that you're doing. Now, all of us can enjoy a beautiful night sky, right? Don't you love to go look at the stars and the moon? And whether you know anything about it, you can be in awe and enjoy a night sky. But an astronomer will see it differently. They will know the names of the stars and the constellations and the planets. How about a navigator guiding a ship across an ocean by the stars, seeing it totally different than I would? Because they've prepared, they've trained themselves to see what they need to see. In common everyday situations, some people see potential and joy. Others see opportunity for crude jokes and innuendos. They're guided by their hearts. What we put in our mind and in our heart comes out. And in our society, we have access to so much information. We're all in information overload. There's just more than we can handle. And so we pick and choose what we want. We have all kinds of information available at our fingertips, in our shirt pockets. We can get on a plane and go just about anywhere we want for just a handful of dollars. You can go wherever you want. You can do whatever you want. You can find out whatever information you are curious about. It just seems like the opportunities are endless. And I wonder sometimes if the pursuit of too many different desires leads us into mediocrity. Good things often steal us away from the best because we're going in so many different directions. We let ourselves be distracted by ideas and things and lust to the point that we miss what God is doing around us. We just don't see it. We fail to see Him or hear Him. But Jesus' teaching here in the Beatitudes helps us train our minds and our hearts to see what God is doing. And our beatitude for today is the sixth one in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Let's just start from the beginning of the Beatitudes and catch up there. Verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Now, other scriptures speak about being single-minded or not being double-minded. Throughout the scripture, we find encouragement to love God wholeheartedly. And when Jesus spoke these words to people on the hillside, he was expressing the very heart of God. And it is consistent with the whole of Scripture. And phrases learned from Scripture tend to come to my mind. And these, as I read this, you cannot serve both God and money. You cannot serve two masters. You will love one and hate the other. Deuteronomy 6, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And another translation says strength. Paul said, throw off the sin that entangles you so that you can run the race, keeping your eye on the prize. Well, we tend to let things tangle us. We tend to let things distract us. It might be good endeavors, or it might just be busyness. Sometimes it's outright sin that divides our loyalty. What's cluttering up your heart? What's getting in the way of hearing God and seeing what God is doing? Paul said, I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. From Romans 7. Sometimes it's hard to follow Paul, but I think we can all agree the struggle is real. We all fight this battle of the competition for our minds and our hearts. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart. Heart here represents the center of one's being. It's not just talking about the muscle that pumps blood through us. It's referring here to our emotion, our intellect, and our will, our whole being. Is your innermost being pure? Are we void of hypocrisy? Do our desires point us to God? Are our desires united in search of God? King David wrote in Psalm 86 that we read at the beginning of the service, teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. That's a good prayer. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. Let me be so in tune with you, God, that your nature fills me up and shows through me. Be clean, undiluted, no alloy, free from the chaff, absent from selfish motives. Does it seem doable? Can you imagine yourself without distractions and without things getting in the way, competing for your thoughts? Does it seem attainable? Would God demand something that is not attainable for us? Is a pure heart within your reach? Jesus spoke these words. Did he know people? Of course he did. Jesus knew the limitations of the people to whom he was speaking. He understood very well the temptations and the distractions that snag us, that entangle us, and yet he calls us to be his. He calls us to be clean, to be pure and holy. And it is the direction we should be moving. Now, he did not call us to live in a monastery separated from the world. We're meant to work and be engaged in the world. John Stott wrote that a worker may be dirty and stink on the outside, but on the inside, he is pure incense before God because he ponders the word of God and his heart obeys it. Living in this world, we're going to get dirty. How can we keep pure on the inside? As I said, being pure doesn't require isolation. It doesn't require us to just be in a quiet place all day, quoting scripture and praying. All those kind of retreats are very helpful. It means to keep our heart pure that God has our loyalty, that he is first and foremost our God. Brad said last week, he needs to be your number one. And thanks, Brad, for preaching last week. God's ways are our ways. His priorities become our priorities. We walk in his spirit. And you know as well as I do that there are other interests that want to steal our desire and move us away from God. And so we're constantly managing all these desires, all these interests. In the next chapter of Matthew, Jesus is quoted as saying, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Make it first." Now, ultimately, we will never have a pure heart unless we are filled with the Spirit of God. We are not able to generate that completely. We need the Spirit of God working in us. He is the one who purifies us. And yet we must also pursue holiness. It seems to be one of the most serious challenges for Christians, balancing all these things and being in the world but not consumed by it. Paul wrote to the Philippians, "Continue to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." You see, it's both at the same time. We're working toward God, we're pursuing God, and he is at work in us and through us to cleanse us, to purify us, and to draw us to himself. And as people, we leak. We're distracted. We sin. And so we need the Holy Spirit to refill us and re-cleanse us. And sometimes we need big repair, don't we? Sometimes we need an overhaul. We need cleansing. And that was the condition of King David when he wrote Psalm 51. Or I expect afterwards he wrote it. But I think he went through the prayer and the cries to God after he had committed serious sin. Adultery with Bathsheba and then had her husband killed so that he could have her. And he cried out to God, "Create in me a clean heart. Renew a steadfast spirit in me." I've mentioned to you often, and we started off this year by looking at spiritual disciplines. The spiritual disciplines help us stay in spiritual shape. They condition us. Worship, prayer, Bible study, serving other people, giving your resources to God's work. All of these things help us keep our heart in shape. They point us in the right direction and bring us into position for God's Spirit to fill us and to do his work. And fellowship with other believers helps us be accountable and encourages us. We need these things, these disciplines. And as we consider how to make our hearts pure and how to live this life, let me go back to the progression of the Beatitudes that we've talked about some. The first three Beatitudes are about getting ourselves into the right place with God so that we are willing to let God work. We recognize our condition without God. We're poor in spirit. And then we mourn our sin and we begin to seek change. And that brings us into a meekness that makes us trainable. And we begin to hunger and thirst for righteousness. And being right with God becomes our priority. As we pursue God, we find that we're getting along with other people better. We're more willing to act with mercy. Our relationships with God and other people improve, and our hearts are pulled home, and purity begins to guide us, and it builds on itself. And the more that we experience God, the more we want to know Him. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. What does it mean to see God? Will you really see Him when your heart gets pure enough? Will you see physically the being of God? A spiritual vision, maybe? Elijah was only allowed to see his backside as he passed by him. Moses was up on the mountain and spent time with God. Before that, he saw the burning bush. He saw manifestations of God, but he was not exposed to all of God's being. He couldn't stand it. We may have similar experiences. God may bless us that way, but I don't think that's what Jesus was promising in this verse. I don't think he's talking about a literal seeing God. But as our hearts become pure, we do see God in what's going on. We see God in nature, in His creation. We see Him more clearly as our hearts are drawn into His, and we see God moving in other people. We see the work that God's doing. We begin to see where He is at work in the situations and the people around us. You remember Jesus said that His Spirit is like the wind. We don't know where it comes from or where it's going. We cannot see the wind, but we can see the work of the wind. We can see the results of the wind. And that's how God's Spirit works around us. We see the evidence of His presence. This verse just a few weeks ago had just captured my attention. And I remember having a conversation with Brother Hogan about it. How do I have a pure heart? What does that mean? I somehow had earlier just kind of relegated this beatitude to those who just naturally seem to have a pure heart because maybe their minds don't capture lots of information and so their hearts are pure. You know what I'm saying? People that don't operate at the same level mentally that some of us do. And yet their hearts seem so pure. And I thought maybe this beatitude was for them. Well, it is. And I think they're supernaturally blessed with the presence of God. But that's not who Jesus was talking to. He was talking to everyday people. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. As pastor, I need to see what God's doing. I need to hear God's voice. I need to know what God's doing in our church and with individuals and in the community. And yet I find it difficult to be consistently hearing and seeing what God's doing. So how can I do this? How can I have a pure heart? How can I see what God's doing? How do you do it? How do we develop a pure heart? I know first and foremost, I must put aside the things that distract me. I must untangle myself from the things that are keeping me from God. Run away from the sin that wants to grab me. And seek the Lord in His Word and in prayer and in worship. Now, it's my job. You pay me to do these things. And yet you have to go out into the world and make a living with your hands and with your minds. So how are you going to do this? How can you pursue God and be good at the work you're doing? Do you have time to do both? Let me just give you a word of advice. Give your work to God. Give it to Him. He's put you there. He wants you to be good at it, but He doesn't want you to be consumed by it. If God has called you to work, He wants you to do it well and within reason. Whatever your work is, just give it to God. Household engineers, moms, turn your child raising and your duty balancing over to the Lord. Let Him work in you and through you as you bless your children and your household. You medical practitioners, God has gifted you to help other people. That's a gift. Do it with clarity and with joy. Teachers, we have a lot of teachers here. God has sent you into the classroom and to the sports field. Be His missionary. Farmers, God has put the earth in your hands. Take care of it. Take care of God's people with it. You see, our heritage is to separate the religious from the physical. But that's not God's intention. God's put you where you are. Just make Him a priority in it. Do your work for Him. And as I've said, it does not require to be a monk locked away in a monastery. In fact, God has not called us to stay away from the world. He's called us to be in the world, but we have to let His interest guide us in the world. We have to yield to Him and let Him cleanse us and purify us. And if we keep piling up the garbage in our minds and in our hearts, we won't see Him. If we're filling ourselves with garbage, we will not see what God's doing around us. We need to be cleansed so that we know His presence. And there's another aspect of this promise that we must address. There's more to this promise of seeing God. When we enter His glory, we will see Him face to face. When we reach heaven, we will experience the fullness of God. We will see God. If you don't believe me, read the final chapters of Revelation. They're just an incredible description of heaven. And I don't think John's was even quite able to describe what he saw, but the Spirit told him, write this down. We will see God. We will be in His presence. How are we preparing now for the fullness of God's presence? Are we preparing ourselves for it? And remember, even the great characters of the Bible didn't always get it right. I mean, that's part of the beauty of Scripture, is we learn from others' mistakes. Sometimes they got it wrong. But they are remembered for their pursuit of God. They're remembered for their faithfulness. They're remembered for their obedience. They're remembered for the powerful way that God worked in them and through them. Do you want some of that? Do you want God working powerfully in your life and to use us as a church to bring revival to this community and to literally be the hands and feet of Him as we work here? I'm sure you do. Last Sunday night, I heard the youth reading from Philippians chapter 1. And one of my favorite parts of that, it says, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion." That is good, isn't it? God has begun a good work in you. He will carry it on to completion. God finishes what He starts. Join Him in it. Happy are those who have pure hearts. They're the ones who see God. Let's pray. Music team, would you come?